Welcome to The Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiki K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646 or online at thedealmakershow.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, and good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolinas Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate here in the Carolinas. We've got a great show for you this morning. We have Josh Plyler with Keller Williams Real Estate. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, thanks. I really appreciate you being here in studio with us. So just kick it off. I always like to get, you know, background of you know, kind of who you are, you know, what got you into the real estate. So kind of take us back to the beginning of Josh and kind of start us there.
Well, I like to say I'm just a good old country boy, just right here locally in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Always just growing up around here and really enjoyed getting into real estate kind of out of a not necessarily, it was kind of a tragedy, but my grandfather passed away about a little over 2 years ago, and his sister, which is my aunt, actually owns a Keller Williams office in Tennessee and came into town and got to talking with me and my wife for a while and really keened in on me and really piqued my interest on getting into real estate.
Yeah.
And that's what really started a journey from there. Work ethic wise, I think got taught everything from, you know, I called my granddad, but it was my papa.
Yeah.
Got taught a lot from him and my dad too, and just really just hit the ground running from there on out.
Awesome. So what was it that your aunt kind of like started begin to, you know, describe about the real estate business or about anything involving real estate? Like, how did that kind of, you know, transpire and like kind of pique your interest?
Well, she about 5 years before that, my wife corporately retired me and I started helping her out in her business.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes hand in hand with her business on how she deals with people and relationship building and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my aunt just said, "Hey, Josh, you know, you know, she kind of looked like you want to do something else, you know, get a little itchy." You know, I was like, "Yeah, you know, I want to get out there and, you know, do something else." And so that's what piqued my interest. And then just talking to her, and her son actually is in the business too. And they were both in town and just talked it over with me, gave me a book, read a book about it, really enjoyed everything positive things about it.
Yeah.
And figured I can just go right into that niche with no problem.
Yeah, cool. What book was it?
This is the Millionaire Real Estate book.
Yeah.
So that was good. And we talked about another book that was written. It was The One Thing.
Yeah. Gary Keller.
Yeah. Gary Keller. And we, in my wife's business, we did a podcast with him, with Jay Paxton. Really liked that book, and I really didn't really understand it. It was really from real estate at the time.
Right.
Until, you know, you just kind of see, when I was talking to her, I was like, oh, wow, that's just funny how things align.
Yeah.
So
what was it like, you know, kind of digging into those books? What was like the big kind of like takeaways, the aha moments, if you will, that kind of not just maybe for real estate, but kind of like, hey, this really applies to my life. I love digging into like that type of thing, really, you know, personal development, success, what that really means, what it looks like. And obviously I think reading is probably one of the biggest, you know, factors as far as, you know, personal growth. What was kind of the takeaways for, you know, our listeners out there who may be, you know, thinking about, you know, doing whatever it is in their life, whether you're buying a house, whatever, any solid takeaways?
I say one of the takeaways was really you're just in your own way on your future growth in anything in life, and get out of your way. Like you say, you know, read daily, every day, every morning, get up. And hustle hard on whatever you're positively and passionate about. And I think, like you said, reading 101 is just number one on my book for growth. So.
Yeah. Were you before you got into those two particular books, were you a reader?
No, I really wasn't a reader at all.
Yeah.
Until you know, my wife really stretches me a lot on growth and motivates me and you know, she can probably whip my butt in anything.
All right.
And so, you know, I look up to her every morning, and she pushes me on to reading a lot. And it's still a daily struggle sometimes. You know, sometimes you get up, you get busy, you know, in regular life and anything. But you got to find that time to read at least for like 10 minutes and pick a good book and go for it.
Awesome. So Your aunt comes down, talks to you about real estate. You're helping your wife and her business at that time. You start kind of transitioning into real estate. What did that process look like for you?
It was a little overwhelming at first.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. So the process was easy. We just went to go get your license. Did 2 weeks course there. But it was eye-opening of all the things you had to learn and understand. And from that, it was fine. I think a lot of people was getting caught up on how to deal with people. And probably like overwhelming herself with too much information. And mm-hmm. I kind of went in kind of like backwards and just said, hey, I ain't gonna worry about the process too much. Let me get my laws down so I don't mess up.
Right.
And then let me just hit it. Just with blinders on, like a Kentucky Derby racer, you know, just
yeah.
hit it and go for the finish. And you learn, you always gonna learn throughout the process.
Right.
So I wasn't scared about that. And lean on your fellow colleagues in whatever you do anyway in life, you know,
yeah.
whatever that be in real estate or anything else. Somebody's gonna be there to pick you up and help you out.
What does that look like in terms of maybe working at your particular office as a new agent a couple years ago? You go through all the real estate classes, which, you know, pretty in depth. I mean, there's a lot of crazy knowledge you got to learn there, but like, what does that process look like from being surrounded by people who actually genuinely care about your success?
I say they really just want to help everybody, you know, and at first, you know, I came in, I was like, nobody's really, really wanting to help you too much, you know?
Yeah.
You know, 'cause you're just in the business. Everybody's in the business doing the same thing. But if you open up and let your guard down, people's really there to help. You know, you just got to see your – I say one thing I like to look for is daily miracles and every day. And so that's what I call like a little miracle is get it out of your control. And in our office, for instance, you know, you can look at a top agent at our office and all the new people is always intimidated by them.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, just go ask them. Just go ask them. They'll answer your email or
yeah.
give them a Facebook message real quick, man. They'll hit you up.
Yeah.
You just got to rip that Band-Aid off. So.
Right. That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
From the process of, you know, getting licensed and kind of really kind of ramping up, what did that look like for you? You know, obviously a lot of new agents getting in the business right now. What would be kind of like your one or you know, two or three top things that, you know, be sure you do this, you know, going from getting licensed to becoming, you know, a full-fledged real estate agent and a successful one at that.
I would tell everybody to remind yourself daily what you're doing today is actually getting the results from 90 days from today.
I love that. Yeah, that's such a key point because I think that's the biggest takeaway is – you know, we live in a microwave society. We, you know, we want to, you know, hit a button and 10 seconds later, we want to drop 30 pounds or whatever it may be. And it's just, thinking in longer term aspects, you know, do today what's going to result, you know, for 90 days from now. That's a great point. What else do you have?
And I would say another point from that to work off of is always just try to outbeat yourself every day.
Yeah.
And so I always take notes every day on just a regular old sheet of paper. Like to write my goals down, so tell them, write your goals down. You know, your 1 week goal, your 1 month goal, and I always do like a 3 year goal.
Yeah.
And you're constantly telling your mind where you want to go and where you need to head. And with that in tow, that'll keep you always ramped up and motivated. But tell everybody about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Let people know that you're getting into real estate. Keep yourself motivated and surround yourself around positive people.
Awesome. So do you do that every morning? You're adjusting your goals for at least that particular day?
Yeah, for that day. For that day, I'll adjust them for that day. For instance, today I'm setting up 2 open houses. That's the goal.
Awesome.
So still hustling on that one.
I love it. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us during or after the show anytime, 704-999-6646, or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. We've got Josh Plyler in studio with us, Keller Williams Real Estate. Talking real estate in general and everything we can do to help you be successful. So Josh, moving forward, you've been in the business now for, you know, a few years. Kind of take us through, that kind of process as a whole. What are you doing to kind of set yourself apart, to really kind of bring value to not only just, you know, your clients, but the marketplace in general?
Well, I like to, personally connect with my clients. You know, when I get referrals or new clients I meet and they really want to look at real estate, I try to get to know them as a person and really value what they really want out of life, not only just out of criteria of a house, and not to try to be attached to the closing table, so to speak. You know, most real estate agents, they get into business and they need to make money like yesterday. I believe in just not worrying about your closing table paycheck.
Right.
You know, but just really, if you just really value your clients and understand what they need, what they want, you'll always find something for them, and just kind of be relationable, you know?
Right.
Find something common with them. You know, you can always look for things that you're in common with people. Don't be shut off to anybody.
Yeah. We talk a lot on the show about, you know, genuinely caring for our clients, and that theme seems to come up every week. And I think it just really goes to show that there are people in this business who, you know, have that feeling. There's the people out there who are just, you know, trying to slam a paycheck, but I think people see through that and you know, really can kind of connect with, you know, the right team of people who actually look out for their best interest. And so it's so much more than, you know, getting a paycheck or, you know, trying to, you know, iron out these small issues. If you genuinely care for your clients, I think your clients are going to see that and be more trusting of you, and be able to build that long-term relationship.
Yeah, most definitely. Cause, no matter what, people can see through your facade, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to come out eventually. You know, if you're showing houses or either trying to get their listing and
right.
trying to sell their house, it'll come out. So really just be true to yourself.
Right.
And, be confident. Just
yeah.
be confident. Hang out like you hang out with your buddies, and you should be a-okay in real estate.
Right.
every time that's going
to
work.
I think, you know, there's certainly different ways to, you know, kind of connect and build, you know, long-term relationships that are, obviously there, it's got to be mutually beneficial. We want to provide a great service. We do genuinely care for our clients, but, you know, it's also how we do make our living. But focusing on our clients is the number one thing. And certainly there's different ways to do that. Do you kind of feel like it's more just developing like more of like a friendship type thing and just kind of hanging out in that sense to build that?
Yeah. You got to build trust like that and build them in friendships, you know, hang out with them outside of real estate if
yeah.
need be. Because, you know, sometimes you got to nurture some of your clients. You know, they want to buy, but they want to buy like in a few months. And,
right.
you know, don't forget about them. Don't
yeah.
just be like, okay, let me go find somebody who wants to buy right now.
Right.
And then you're going to forget about them. Because if you, like I said earlier, if you're thinking about what you do now, set up for 90 days.
Yeah.
If you nurture that, you know, give them a text message. You see there's happy birthday. Send them happy birthday text. I mean, anything. Call. See what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hanging out anytime, free time. They'll remember you. And you ain't got to push real estate. You know, you just say, hey,
right.
I'm here.
How's How do you kind of keep track of that as far as just making sure you do stay in contact and maybe even hanging out or, you know, sending a text? Like, is it just, you know, making your list and going through it, you know, on a weekly basis just to make sure you're reaching out and, you know, showing people that you care? Or what does that
look
like? Yeah,
it's that daily write down on that notebook. So you uh-huh. do like your 10 most valuable MVPs kind of deal.
Yeah.
What you want to do. And I have like a hot list of clients, a warm list, like just a cold list. I mean, like
yeah.
it might be a year out, you know. So,
right.
like, oh, so if you've connected one, they'll be on that list, and I can keep it on the spreadsheet also. But I always make sure to get a touch at least once a week if I need to, on at least the hot list and the warm list.
Right.
Get at least once a week, just give them a touch and see how they're doing, and never really push real estate at all.
Yeah.
You know, because they'll feel pushy.
Right.
Didn't want to do that.
So, you know, it does take, you know, a concerted effort, hard work, you know, to do that, to, you know, to maintain relationships, even if it's just your friends from high school or college.
Yeah,
you know,
it
takes work. You know, have you always kind of been like the guy who wakes up and writes his goal down, or was that new once you got into like kind of real estate and kind of did some more reading? You know, what was
that
process like?
Yeah, that was
it takes a lot
like
of discipline.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I mean, I don't do it every day too. Sometimes
yeah.
I want to and I'll go and I get busy. And we got a little boy now. He's 13
yep.
weeks old. So he'll knock your socks off some morning. So it's
yeah.
like, but you got to just recenter yourself and don't beat yourself up on it. So
yeah.
try to stick to it. But that's really just helped me with Darren Daly. I listen to a Darren Daly text message every day. You know, it does a
yep.
video. And he did the, trying to think of the book.
Compound effect.
Yep. Yeah. That's what really got me and my wife started on it. And she done it for years, and I just never did really do it. I'd get up and like, oh, yeah, I'm just go to the gym, eat right, let's not. I don't want to do that. And then once I got in real estate, I was like, oh, man, I better get serious. Let me get this stuff down because I want to act like a CEO or, you know, be that person that does something to get the results that I want to get.
You 100%.
Know? So I didn't want to be in my own way. So I was like, all right, let me just swallow my pride and say, oh, I can't read every day, or let me just go ahead and hit my notebook up and scribble down paper, and it's just a process. Then it becomes a habit.
Love it. So for our listeners, so you can go online, just, you know, Google, you know, Darren Hardy or Darren Daily. And so every morning about 3 a.m., he actually sends out a text or an email with about a 3 to 5 minute video just about, you know, success tips or, you know, how you can better yourself, how you can better your situation, your job, your finances, you know, your relationships. And that goes out Monday through Friday every morning. So it's a perfect way to, you know, it's a great way to start the day. Just, you know, something positive, a good takeaway that you can try to implement that day or that week, whatever it may be. I've actually heard Darren Hardy live several times.
And, oh, that's nice.
And he's fantastic. Really, really a great educator as far as, you know, how do we, you know, improve our situation. And a lot goes back to, you know, personal responsibility, kind of what you say, getting out of your own way, which, you know, I'm all into that. I want to see everybody, you know, successful and doing well. We talk a lot about on the show about overall finances, not just, getting a mortgage, but, you know, when someone comes to us for a mortgage, you know, we want to make sure they're on a great financial path, you know, CPAs, financial advisor, kind of, you know, bring in a team of people who are really going to kind of shine the light on all things finances. Yeah. We want everybody to succeed.
Yeah.
And so it starts in a number of different ways. Darren Daily series is a fantastic way to start.
That very is. It's easy. So everybody's going to look at their phone anyway.
Right.
During the day. So you might as well just check the text message and watch the video.
Right.
You'll get something out of it. It definitely ain't going to hurt you.
So, oh, no. Yeah.
That's why I was like, well, it ain't going to kill me, so I might as well listen to it. Then it sticks to you. It's just daily habit.
Yeah. It's interesting that you brought that up because, like, my team, we actually start our day listening. I'll send it out, you know, about 6 a.m. To my entire team. And we'll all listen to it like on the way to work, and we'll have just a little 5 minute, you know, meet and greet in the morning, and maybe, you know, talk about the clip and maybe like one takeaway. So I think it really improves, you know, our team as a whole and working together.
Yeah, that's a good idea to do that. So that's a real good point there.
Yeah.
So me and my wife listen to it. We talk about it every now and then, but we do right now, we just listen to a podcast. Brian Buffini. I don't know if you probably listen to him or heard of him. We listen to his a lot. And that comes on every Tuesday, so it's probably live now. So,
yeah.
Or whatever. And he does real good. He does a lot. He brings on a lot of guest speakers, too. And he does a lot of motivational speakers, but also people of habits and kind of book writers, you know, that we'll pick up on and order them on Amazon or whatnot. And,
yeah, he's a phenomenal real estate coach, and I think he maybe knows some mortgage coaching as well. All kinds of great information talking about relationship building. I think he may be one of the best as far as like how to, you know, stay involved with your clients, actually bring real value to your clients, not just during the process of them buying a house, but a year, 2, 3 years down the road, still servicing them and providing real value. I think he's certainly amazing at that.
Yeah, he does real good. One thing, one of the podcasts, I can't remember what it was. It happened to be maybe a year, 2 years ago or something. But me and my wife listen to it a lot. It's The Power of the Made-Up Mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually like, even in real estate and even in any other business you have out there, you can have ups and downs and valleys and flows. And when you're down in the valley, you just think like, oh, man. He's like, you just got to have the power of the made-up mind. One aspect is we had our boy this past June, and everybody's like, oh, your wife's going to be different, blah, blah. Are you going to be different in real estate? And I was like, nah, we got that podcast. My power made of mine. Because he talked about it. He had this one lady on there. He's like, I think it was him. He was like, we didn't have the terrible twos. We decided we weren't going to have it. And I was like, that's how it is. You should decide. Hey, this is how it's going to be. And I think our business actually succeeded since we had them. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've got 3 kids. And truth be told, I've always hated that phrase. When someone says that to me, I let it go, you know, because I don't want to create any confrontation. But inside I'm like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's part of growing up. It's not terrible. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, you know, but sometimes you just gotta make sure you hang out with the right people. You know, circle of influence will always push you and power. You know, make you powerful. If you're the smartest person in the room, you might want to find a different room to get in.
That's right.
So that's how we've always looked at things. So.
Yeah, I think it was Henry Ford, you know, who was, you know, one of the richest men in the world at the time, you know, way back when. And I think he's famous for many reasons, obviously, but famous for saying that, you know, he was made sure that he was always not the smartest one in the room.
Yeah.
And to surround yourself by smarter people. So it's a phenomenal point. I mean, I think all these things kind of go to, you know, what the service that we try to deliver as a real estate agent, as a mortgage loan officer. We want to always better ourselves so we can bring more value to our clients. And I think that's, a big point. If you're not growing in this, like you said, there's ebbs and flows, highs and lows in this business. I'm not quite sure people understand like how low the lows can be.
Yeah.
Obviously the highs are great, but sometimes, you know, man, you want to, you know, put your head in the wall or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Like a fork in the eye. Like,
that's right. Cause you know, at the end of the day, we are, you know, have so much responsibility for our clients, you know, helping them get into a home. If things don't go perfectly smooth, there's so many domino effects that can go wrong and create issues.
A lot of spinning plates, so to speak.
That's right. So, you know, one thing we want to do to head that off is make sure that, you know, we're growing as individuals so we can, you know, bring better value. So I love that you're into that.
Yeah, and you got to be more centered, you know, not so much on yourself, but really just if you can just really control your mind and grow any way you can, it always help the outcome of any situation. You can handle it 10 times better.
100%.
You know, and you still won't even do it the best job, but you'll do it a whole lot better than what you did.
That's right.
So
you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We're talking all things success today. You got questions, we got answers. 704-999-6646. Call us during or after the show or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. Throw us an Instagram too if you like, at Carolinas Mortgage. Josh, you're on Instagram, yeah?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's at Josh Plowler.
Yeah. You do a lot of social media stuff with real estate?
Yeah, I really do. I try to do a lot. I think I need to post this week, so I haven't posted this week yet. But usually I like to get about 3 posts in a week.
And, nice.
You know, not so much all real estate, but also be, like I said, building that personal relationship and being family oriented and everything, just whatever I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely can do a lot better at posting, but
I think we can always do better at everything, but we do what we can. Awesome. So obviously now, you know, fast forward a little bit of time, full-fledged real estate agent, successful. What do you feel kind of separates, you know, you from the rest of the pack when it comes to, you know, bringing real value?
I would say just really honesty, just having pure honesty.
Yeah.
And, so to speak, my aura, you know, so to speak, everybody laughs about it, but I really have an aura of not attachment.
Yeah.
So I'm not attached to if, you really wanted to buy a house or let me sell your house. I'm really there for you, just hanging out. And
yeah.
So I think that's one positive thing. They said, I've never met another real estate agent like you. You know, you can always meet people. Everybody knows a real estate agent somewhere.
Yeah.
Or they've already dealt with them before. And they said, I really like you. You're genuine and you're easy to talk to. So I think really my country accent helps me out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just an honest country boy. And that's what I kind of just talk about that. I talk about fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first when I'm just meeting somebody brand new, because believe it or not, I think every transaction I've had has not been with a friend or a family. It's all new people that I've met. So
cool.
I try to get that relationship building pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because what I've talked on the show before previously is I kind of define it this way. The people in business who get it and the people who don't.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely, Josh, in my you know, business dealings, whether you're absolutely an agent who gets it. And what I mean by that is just someone who understands that we're working as a team We have the exact same common goals to provide great service and get the client in the home.
Yeah.
And sometimes there can be there can be this adversarial relationship between a real estate or a mortgage or anybody in the process. And I think when that comes out, I think that goes a long way to show that maybe someone in the process is really only in it for that paycheck, not actually, caring about the client, but really just kind of caring more about themselves.
Yeah.
And so I kind of define it as, people who get it in business and people who don't. And I think we all genuinely want, nobody wants to provide bad service. Nobody goes into a deal and says, hey man, I'm gonna screw this one up. I think if you start from a place where, hey, I genuinely think X person, Y person is trying to do a great job. How can maybe I can team up with them and like get this to the next spot? And I just say kudos to you because you're phenomenal at that. I appreciate that about you. I know your clients do.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that out to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I think I try to put myself in their shoes a lot too, and really get to know them. I'm probably saying the same things over and over, but really it goes back to personal growth, not being attached to outcome, mm-hmm. and really caring about somebody.
Yeah.
And your paychecks will be there.
Look, let's talk about not being attached to the outcome, because I think that's such a big thing. And I've probably learned it the hard way. I think we all maybe learn it the hard way, unless you're smarter than I am and maybe you learn it the easy way. But so what you mean by not attaching yourself to the outcome, maybe attaching yourself to the process?
Yeah.
How would you describe that?
Well, I describe it like not attaching yourself to the outcome, meaning like if you find yourself getting aggravated mm-hmm. during the process of helping a client or doing your business and whatever you do, find yourself losing passion, you're getting attached to the outcome of what's in it for you. So I'd say it is just selfish. So if you're going to be selfish about it, you need to find another business. You ain't going to make it home. That goes for your business and my business. People see that selfishness, and that selfishness is my belief is the attachment. Because you're like, what's in it for me? Let me push this product, whatever, on them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them get it. Let me get my money. Let me go find another one.
Right.
And if you getting upset about something going wrong during the process, that's an attachment that I'm talking about, and they feed that off. But I would say ask yourself that. Hey, do I ever get aggravated a lot? Do I ever get, what's my motivation of getting aggravated? And then because I ain't saying I don't always do it.
Sure.
But I'll sit there and think to myself, all right, Josh, straighten up. You just worried about, I want to get that paycheck next month, or I want to do this because I want to buy something for the family. All right, let me think about them. And so then I'll start asking my clients questions.
Yeah.
So if I ever feel that attachment, I'll ask them questions like, well, tell me more about that issue. So if they have an issue of like, oh, I want this home here, or I want this one, but my husband wants this one, or the kids need to be in this school, and we ain't finding nothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment will look like, oh, I'm getting upset because they ain't really finding nothing. I'm still showing them more houses. I'm finding some good products and houses. Let me just dig in deeper and ask them some more questions so I can get something better instead of just worrying about me and just finding them an okay house that can work.
Right. Yeah. As much as possible, I'd certainly try to focus on the process, not the end result like you're talking about. And I find, hey, if I can focus on, the process, and for me, that process is, contacting clients, following up with them, making sure they understand the process, the different options available to them, what that process is going to look like. If I focus on that, which is essentially focusing on providing, good service, the end result takes care of itself. And when the time comes where it doesn't, well, could I have done better on the process, or was it something that was totally out of my control? And if it was, then, you should still be sleeping well. And maybe try to find, another alternative to make the end result better, or to maybe improve your process.
Yeah, most definitely. I do the same thing. I do a buyer's consultation or like a selling consultation to give them a little buyer's 101 guide or a selling 101 guide.
Right.
And it kind of outlines the timeline of the process, what to be looking for, what what you can expect from me as an agent and what I expect you as a client. And also do a little thing like you hinted on. I'll give them like an exit interview after the close. I'll just call them a couple of days later. Like, hey, man, I just wanted to give me a good review. You know, just talk to me, you know, just text it back to me. But here, and I'll send them a Google form. And it's really like, think hard on it. I want you to know where I fell because I want to know where I fell.
Awesome.
Like, you know, I love that they give me good feedback, but I also want the negative feedback too.
Sure.
I said, you ain't gonna hurt my feelings. It just helps me grow.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you typically, it can be a punch in the gut, you know, to get some negative feedback sometimes. But I think the true professionals, and I try to be this way. I won't say that I am, but you know, when you get that negative feedback, you know, do you, you know, get angry and throw it off and say, oh, they're full of it, you know, or you like, hey, let me put myself in their shoes. And was this something that I could have done differently? And I think, you know, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But it's very important to do to be, you know, a true expert and professional in any field that you're, you know, trying to do that in.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Sometimes you'll get it and you're like, really?
Right.
I thought I did pretty good right there. But
yeah.
But I share them with my wife too, and she's like, "See that little thing? It's creeping up in every little one." I'm like, "Oh, it is. Okay, let me tighten that up a little bit."
Yeah. So certainly, you know, if following any trend in your feedback, whether positive or negative, can be just very valuable to making any corrections or to enhancing, you know, some of the things that you do well. So, on your feedback, man, what are some of the kind of the trend for like what you do very, very well with your clients?
I think easy communication, always willing to be there and answer a text message or a phone call.
Yeah.
Which I think is very not funny to me, but I'm always, I set boundaries. So I learned one time just set boundaries. So really, it ain't like I answer back at 3 o'clock in the morning or first thing I do is answer first thing in the morning. But I guess I must answer them quick enough and make them feel valued enough. You know, if I'm sitting down at dinner, I'm not going to answer the phone. The phone's usually in the pocket, you know.
Right.
And family time is family time. And they know that. But I think it's all expectations that I set up when I talk to them at my consultation.
Mm-hmm.
I let them know my hours and when I'm on and off and when I can help them and when I can't.
Run me through that real quick for our agents who are listening. Kind of like walk us through that process of setting those expectations and kind of the feedback that you get from that. Because obviously we all need to be able to turn off and focus on some family at certain points. You know, how do you set that up with your clients in that consultation and kind of what's the feedback on that?
Well, I set them up at first, you know, we're going through the whole process and then towards the consultation, I'll just let them know, hey, I value them and their lifestyle and their family time and what they do for a living. So
awesome.
I'll get to see, you know, they work first shift, second or third.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, okay, cool. I know about what time they're going to contact me. And I'll find value in what they do, but I also tell them, hey, well, just like you, I also have a family and, you know, church time, family time, friend time, my hobby time. Here's what usually when I work, you know, and I tell them I usually work, you know, every day, and I'm usually going to get up in the morning, read, do gratitude with my wife, and then go to the gym or try to work out or something, get blood pumping, and then I'm going to answer you back. And it's usually around about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And then I'm going to cut it off like around 6.
Awesome.
And it's almost every day through the week. And then on weekends, you know, we're always going out and hanging out and you know, showing houses or I'm doing open house. And they kind of know it. But I always like, oh, yeah, I'll do this. And I think once you set that expectation, they know from the beginning, not halfway into y'all's relationship, they're like, well, man, I'm texting Josh. He's not even getting back to him first thing in the morning.
Right. Because
they may be working. They may get up at 4 in the morning and getting all their stuff done and then hitting the work at 7.
Right.
You know? So I think setting that expectation is key, and they've always thanked me for it. And believe it or not, I'll have to go back and really – ain't really thought about it since you asked me, but I don't even think nobody's really texted me like at 7 in the morning after doing that.
Yeah.
And I got that from my wife just watching her run her business.
Yeah.
For so many years, and I was like, oh, I got to do that, because I see a lot of agents when I started being new, they was running around with like a chicken with a head cut off.
Right.
I mean, just crazy. I'm like, oh, and just stressed out. And I was like, oh, they need to set boundaries. I think, let me set my boundaries before I get too busy.
Yeah, I think that may be like one of the best tips you can give anybody, especially in kind of the sales industry, is kind of what we do is setting proper expectations.
Yeah.
Here's what you can expect from me. And I loved how you said that. You kind of start out with, hey, I know you've got, you know, your job, your family, whatever, and I want to respect your time. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how you can respect my time. So, setting the proper expectations, but then also letting the client know what you expect of them.
Yeah.
And the fact that you respect their time and what they're expecting. Man, I think that's huge.
Yeah, and I always ask them, too, do you like a, would you, you know, communication style is just different each client to the other. And I say, hey, yep. Would you like a phone call or a text message or email? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, they'll tell me that, so I know that's their preferred method of communication.
Right.
You know, and you can always go either way with those, you know.
Right.
Because some people may be at work and get text messages. So he's like, hey,
right.
House is now went on the market. If y'all free after you get off, man, let me know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we try to utilize all three.
Yeah.
You know, phone, email, and text, pretty regularly. Even trying to, you know, set up, you know, just some automated, you know, yeah. text as well, just because mm-hmm. people are much more apt to text yeah. as opposed to, you know, call, especially the younger generation.
Oh,
they don't want you to call. They're like,
oh yeah, someone's like, man, don't call me. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
I've actually had that. I had a young client. We were literally texting back and forth, and one of his questions was kind of more in depth. So I was like, well, let me just call him and see if we yeah. can, you know, get all. So I call him. He's like, and he doesn't answer. And he just texts me back. I prefer text. And I was like, oh, I was like, okay, but
it's gonna be a novel.
It's gonna be a novel. But yeah, so it's interesting. So you got to meet people where they're at, though.
Yeah, you got to.
That's part of what we do.
Yeah, that makes them feel comfortable. I do one thing too to help people out is follow up Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday is my follow up days. Just let people know where we're at in the process, what we need to do next, and
yep.
you know, oh, you've had so many showings on your house this weekend. Hopefully, offers mm-hmm. coming in. I'm following up with Susie Q and just yeah. letting people know where they're at every once a week. And that's all those expectations you're setting at your consultation appointments with them anyway.
Yeah.
And you say, here's my boundaries. Here's my time. I honor your time.
Yeah.
Honor how you like your communication style. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you'll hear from me every Tuesday.
That's awesome.
On your communication style.
So tell me a little bit more about how you set that process up with the Tuesday follow-up. I do something very similar. Kind of how does that look? Is that just for your clients that you have a listing with or that are under contract if you're the buyer's agent, or is
yeah.
that like everybody? How's that
yeah,
look
that's,
like?
Yeah, that's just the follow-ups are just my current ones that's under contract and listing.
Okay.
Any ones I have listed with are under contract. And I write them all on the whiteboard anyway, so it keeps me,
yep.
I know where they're at. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Susie Q, I need to follow up with her with this, and I take notes right beside it.
Yep.
So if anything happens during the week, I'll take notes. Or if she's looking for a certain type of house or if an mm-hmm. investor's looking for something, I always make sure to keep those tabs every time. Well, you know, we get emails like crazy in real estate.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
They're always dinging. So if I see something come across from one of my investors, I always make sure and write the MLS number down on the whiteboard and,
mm-hmm.
and tell them about it. You know, hey, I know you got that email, but you want to go see it? What's going on? You want me to go back or pop by?
Yeah.
Look at it for you? So always giving them content, not just going, hey, this is Josh. I'm touching up with you.
Right.
Holler at you later.
Cool.
Like, nah.
Hey, you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. You can call us anytime during or after the show. Send us some questions, 704-999-6646. Got Josh Plyler, Keller Williams Real Estate here in studio with us, giving some great information on just how to control your life and take responsibility and focus on clients. Great stuff so far, Josh. Kind of what anything we haven't touched on that you really kind of focus on with, you know, bringing the value to the marketplace? Put you on the spot there a little bit?
No, not too bad. I think just really just get out of your own way. And to bring value, you can just do you, so to speak.
Let me stop you. So you've mentioned that a few times, and I'm right there with you, man. Wholeheartedly agree. Kind of describe that though a little bit more. Like, what does it mean to kind of get out of your own way? I know we've talked about
yeah.
not focusing on the end result, but kind of maybe dig a little more deeper in the fact that, hey, you know, maybe step out of your own way and.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in life, I think as humans, I call them straw stories in your head, and. If you're brand new in this, you're going to have a straw story, so to speak, of fear, which is false evidence appearing real. is what I like to call it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to set your expectations of, you've meeting a new client and you're going to think, oh, they know I'm brand new, or, oh, this is a high dollar client. Man, I don't know if I'm going to do good. That's what I'm talking about, just step out of your own way.
Yeah.
You know, erase those thought processes from your mind. And the way you can do that is, what we've been talking about, is always surrounded by positive people.
Right.
Motivate yourself on a daily basis. Write your goals down. Be passionate, and also reading. And then it'll help you work through those things. I still have it, you know, to the day.
You know,
you can always think like, oh, I ain't doing as good as I can. Oh, this person probably thinks he's going to see right through me.
Yeah.
Get out of your own way, meaning just if you separate yourself from your unsuccessful self, so to speak, in your head.
Right.
And just go out. Go out on that limb, shake that hand, and go show them some houses, or go do a listing appointment and say, be confident in yourself. It's going to pay for itself.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Maybe kind of like knowing the value that you bring.
Yeah.
Understanding that you are actually bringing, you know, real value. And maybe some agents don't, or some, you know, mortgage bankers don't. Maybe some insurance agents don't. Yeah. But, you know, I think the vast majority, you know, have value to bring. And you work on the personal development side to bring more value.
Yeah.
But I think maybe, you know, to go right along with you saying, if you kind of understand the value that you're bringing, maybe that, you know, kind of eliminates some of that fear as, hey, maybe I'm not, you know, good enough. But, you know, if you're bringing real value and you focus on the value that you bring, maybe that kind of shifts that narrative in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. And if you got a niche, like if you like real estate, you like looking at homes.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, man, I'm just going to be a buyer's agent. I'm just going to show people houses. Like, there's plenty of people that's going to go ride around with you.
Right.
You know, so go do it and be happy about it, you know. That's what I'm meaning. Like, just find your niche that you want to do and go all out on it.
Yeah.
Go full blaze and just run with it.
So specifically with real estate, have you found a niche for you as far as like just a singular focus on, hey, I'm going to work with buyers or I'm going to work with sellers, or you still kind of, you know, really kind of focus on just providing great value like to everyone. Yeah. Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, my niche is really, I work with both a lot. I tend to be leaning a lot towards buyers right now.
Yeah.
With the market right now. And I just really love getting them deals. And so that's what's my niche is. I love negotiations. I love talking to people. I love networking. Mm-hmm. And I love just meeting new people.
Yeah.
So if there's anything going on with new people and new things going around the area, I'm always going to be involved and try to meet them. And let them know, hey, I'm here. And that's where I think I'm a very relationship building type of personality.
Yeah.
And so I just talk to people and they just remember me.
Yeah.
And that's my niche. I like sort of called parties, but new crowds, new things. And
definitely,
let's go hang out. Let's go do that. Yeah, let's go do this. And you meet new people that way.
Sure.
And I think if you just get a lasting impression on people anyway, because you're really not attached to the outcome, I just really enjoy being me.
Yeah.
And positive of it is, and a few 2 months from now, Jim might call me and say, hey, man, I remember meeting you at this little venue, was doing some volunteering work or something. And I was like, oh, man. Yeah, I forgot all about that. But yeah. Oh, yeah, let's go look at something. Or his son might be moving to the area.
Yeah.
Something like that. So that's what I love about doing it.
Yeah.
Other than that,
talked about negotiations. Obviously, it's a hot market, kind of a seller's market. Not to put you on the spot,
we
can maybe shift it a different way, but do you have any like negotiation tactics that you use to make sure you get your clients a great deal?
Yeah.
Or we can't share that.
No, you're fine. Yeah. See, I come into a realm of all things possible. So it's like, I can tell you my secrets. It still depends on if somebody's going to do it or not. So
yeah,
probably they ain't going to do it, but really just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Every single one, pick up the phone, call that other agent.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe the listens I've had so far, and closed on one Friday and closing on one Thursday. And the ones that I went with was the ones that picked up the phone, really. It was like, really? Yeah. They called me. It's like, oh, yeah, come on, let's go. Send it on in. It's just relationable. You know, it's not that you went with it, but you're like, oh, you feel like, oh, this is a person.
Right.
But you wouldn't imagine how many people just text them or email them, or just, hey, I got a client really wants to, are y'all going to negotiate any?
Right.
Man, just pick up the phone and talk to somebody. You're going to feel if they're going to negotiate or not, or, oh, it ain't looking good. So you tell your client, the buyer, if he's wanting to offer like $30,000 less, I better pick up the phone and go talk to the agent. If I get a feel from the agent, I'd be like, hey, Jim, it ain't looking good. you know, and sometimes I'll put them on speakerphone and let my clients hear it.
Awesome. I'm a huge advocate for making a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's easy just to do an email and text these days. But especially in a negotiation, I mean, there's so much more you can pick up in, you know, verbal tones and, you know, kind of voice cues when you're on a phone call that you just can't do on a text, or maybe you misinterpret on a text.
Yeah, you might miss it, yeah.
And so I'm a huge advocate for a phone, especially for, you know, big ticket items like negotiating a price when you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know.
Yeah.
That stuff, you know, is I think is important. And so, yeah, to your point, man, I know a lot of my clients have won deals when I've just picked up the phone and called the listing agent for them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so and so is, you know, great buyer. We've already got them pre-approved. And maybe in a multiple offer situation, I think 10 out of 10 times, you know, my mutual clients, whatever real estate agent I'm working with, when I've made those phone calls, the listing agent makes a huge impact.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
So
I like to show the clients too on the other end if they have a little bit of the process. So I'm like, hey, if you want to make that crazy offer, I'll let you listen to it. So here,
right.
So I put them on speakerphone, and that agent's like, man, y'all crazy, blah blah. And I'm like, and then I step away. I take them off speakerphone. I step away and talk to them. It's like, oh yeah, no problem, blah. But then it helps me, with my client without me being the bad news. Like,
right.
You got unrealistic expectations there.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
And it's just another communication about me being honest. So I tell them, hey, I can be honest with you now. I'm going to do my fiduciary duty, and I'll put an offer $30,000 less if you want to. I'll do the paperwork. That's fine with me. You don't hurt my feelings. It might hurt yours when it comes back. But, that ain't my purse I'm talking about. So.
Yeah. Awesome. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show. If you need a negotiation on a home, be sure to call Josh. I got it here in studio. Call us during or after the show, 704-999-6646, or hit us up on Instagram at Carolina's Mortgage. Great information on the negotiation. Let's talk about one other thing that, you know, you kind of, you know, focus on that niche as far as just kind of, again, really kind of pounding on it, but just, you know, building that relationship. When you maybe get a fresh lead and they're like, hey, I want to buy a house today. You show them a house. You've got, you know, 30 days with that person, and you didn't even have to maybe, you know, really work hard on building a relationship before you get a deal with them. How does that process go? Because I think maybe some people, you know, kind of miss that. Then they get, you know, bogged down by, hey, we're in process. We got inspections. We got this. We got this. How do you focus at that point on building relationship now that you've already got them as a client and they're under contract?
It's easy to do there. You just go out to lunch, you know, when they come up for an inspection or something. I always like, hey, what you doing after inspection? You just got to be there the last 30 minutes. But after that, hey, I think we got it scheduled to be done like at 1 o'clock. You want to hit a little late lunch or early lunch for them if they work second shift.
Love
or something.
That.
But always doing that, or either just saying, hey, I'll bring a sandwich, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so something, just find that value there, but you also just giving that little bit extra, like, hey, I care for you. I know you're about to head up to work, man. You want me to get you something to eat on the way, or I'll meet you there? And that's one. Another one is just really outside of real estate or outside of anything, you know, go to a brew house with somebody if they like beer, and, oh yeah, I'll meet you over here at Legal Remedy and have a couple with you and eat a burger and, you know, hang out with you. Another one of my clients, we closed on his house real fast, and I really didn't have time to build a relationship with him too much, and he was moving. So I just called him up and said, hey, man, I got a truck, man. You need some help? And he said, man, I actually do. He just moved from California, and he's like, I got a couch and a bed. You won't mind me helping you move? I said, no. We helped him just last Saturday.
Yeah.
Loaded it up and trying to find a little bit of value there. Just let him know, like, hey, man, wasn't able to. Yours moved so fast, you know. I was like, man, I felt like, oh, thanks for my check, and walked away. But and we laughed about it even when we went out for supper that night. He's like, yeah, that's funny. I was like, yeah. So I was like, still here. I ain't trying to get a check. I'm really here for you. So
that's awesome, man. So how do you get to that point? Is that just, you know, innate and natural with Josh Pyler's personality, or did you kind of have to step back and say, you know, whether it be, you know, reading some books or, you know, listen to some conferences or speeches, whatever, and kind of look back at your business and say, okay, hey, this is now, you know, my career. You know, how do I build long-term growth? and then you work, you know, your tail off to try and to make sure you do these things? Or, I mean, did it just come natural? I mean, how do you do
that? Well, no, it didn't come natural. I mean, it's just your, I think reading books, like you said, listening to motivational speakers, podcasts, you hone your natural skills, ability, and mine are really to relate to people and be connective. And that's one of my natural skills that I really didn't really know I had.
Yeah.
Stand out on me anyway. I knew I had it, but really when you read the books, you think, oh, what can I fine tune? How can I step apart? And it was that right there. And also putting myself in the client's shoes.
Yeah.
What would I like to know? And I was like, oh, this is what I would like to be. So every situation is different, but every client has a different shoes to fill. And I would like to put myself in their shoes just to understand how can I bring them value. And one was aspect, that guy moving. I just remembered.
Yeah.
I put myself in his shoes one night. And I was like, well, that really went quick. And he is at this apartment. Let me call him up.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't even going to ask me. He said, I wasn't even going to ask you. I was like, I figured you was busy with your boy and everything, because I still like to relate with people. So I tell them a little bit about my family. I'll show them pictures or, you know, I mean, I brought my son to some showings before and even open house. I even did open house with him one time. So when they're little, you know, they sleep. So I'm like, I'll just sit right there for a minute.
Yeah.
But he won the show. So I'm like, oh.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you answered that way, because I hear so many people, you know, in business. Well, you know, that's just not me. Or, you know, I can't do that. That's not my personality. But like you answered, and I think it's true. You know, man, it's about developing those skills.
Yeah.
And you don't just go out and become an overnight success. There are, you know, no overnight successes. I mean, they're just not. That's why lottery winners go broke so quick.
Yeah.
It's because, you know,
they even got a show about it.
They didn't work to get that. But, you know, when you put the effort in and put the effort in and put the effort in, like you said, you know, you work today for 90 days later. I think you could even make a case, you know, you work today for 5 years later.
Yeah.
And so doing those things and working on, you know, your personal growth and developing your skills to bring real value and to connect with your clients, such a huge deal. And I think, man, you do it obviously tremendously well, and you're putting, you know, these aren't fake stories. These are real stories. Yeah. This is you, and this is the value that you provide, man. I love it.
Yeah, and obviously, key in on what you said, you just are what you repeatedly tell yourself.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling down about yourself, if anybody's out there listening, man, just start with positive affirmations every morning, or just do something new that we should have been doing the whole time. Me and my wife, we started this gratitude.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing it now for like 2 months now. Yeah. She's probably been doing it longer than I have. Like I said, I was like, I'm busy. I got to go.
Right.
So, and it's three things we're grateful for every morning before we leave. So we had to do it today before we left. So,
I was gonna ask you to get some details. So you wake up, you get together, and you just each say three things that you're thankful for. Or like, how does that work?
Yeah, we'll just get up in the morning, get some coffee going. She works from home too. So it's like, all right, well, let's get some coffee going, make sure the baby's good, relax for a little bit, do our journal if we need to. Mm-hmm. You know, a gratitude journal. Usually we'll do it at nighttime, writing down what we're grateful for. But then in the morning we like to share, like, hey, what's three things you're grateful for? Or, you know, and usually it's always whatever happened yesterday or day or something. Awesome. You know, you always think of something, but it keeps you in that light sense of gratitude.
Yeah. Fantastic. I think that was awesome stuff, man. I really appreciate you coming on. We've had Josh Plyler, Keller Williams Realty in studio with us. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call us anytime after the show, 704-999-6646. Maybe you're going to want to hire Josh as a personal coach.
Yeah.
That's great stuff, man. We appreciate you being here. And for our listeners at home, have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to Brandon Kohlberg, the Dealmaker. Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and DKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit him online at thedealmakershow.com. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for The Dealmaker here on 100.1 FM WRHI.